a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Third ground ball to Schneeman, and Class A, one of the best in the business, has an easy 1-2-3 ninth. And the Guardians have snapped their 10-game losing streak. The Astros kick off this homestand with a 7-5 loss.
Hello, everybody. You might be hearing a different voice right now, and I've got to say, Paul Gallant is out for today's show. He's taking the day off because it's his girlfriend's birthday week, okay? Cut the man some slack. You might not know who I am. My name is Harry. A lot of people call me Hot Take Harry. My last name, Ball. Don't ask about that, because we've got to talk about something that happened last night. You might be unfamiliar with my Northeastern style of sports talk radio, but I've got to say, after the Astros swept the Dodgers over the weekend to lose to a team like the Cleveland Guardians, is unacceptable. In fact, to quote this random guy from the movie The Last Samurai, it's this.
But you may not. This is an outrage.
That's right. This is an outrage. You lost 7-5 to an expansion baseball franchise? I had not heard of the Cleveland Guardians until going into last night's game when I was doing preparation for the greatest talk show host in the United States of America. Big opportunity for me. So here I am sitting here, insulted that the vaunted Houston Astros lose a game to the Cleveland Guardians. 7-5. Again, the Guardians expansion team lost 10 games in a row going into last night's game. Unacceptable. And I know a lot of you people in this soft market are afraid to call out the Houston Astros because they're ranked number one in all the power rankings. Oh, we have injuries. Hey, Yordan Alvarez? It's inflammation, bro. Play. Hey, Jeremy Pena? I didn't see no x-ray about your rib being fractured. Play. Christian Javier? Where you at? Luis Garcia? Oh, you're taking your sweet time in recovery. Lance McCullers is back out there. Where are you, bro? This is one of the worst losses in the history of Houston sports to lose to a team that had lost 10 games in a row after sweeping the Dodgers on America's birthday. So, if you think otherwise, you're a stupid idiot and you need to be reevaluated as an Astros fan. You should be angry, like me, a Northeastern sports talk show host by the name of Harry Ball. Don't ask why it's ball and not balls. Don't ask, okay? We've got to talk about what happened last night, and what happened last night? Outrage. Ridiculous. Unfortunate.
That's Sports Talk Radio in the Northeast, everybody. Hi, it's me. I wanted to riff a little bit, you know. I didn't watch last night's game.
Birthday week.
Right. It's my girlfriend's birthday week. I'm not going to watch the Astros playing a team that sucks, okay? And honestly, take a look at that lineup last night. Good God. I can't believe they scored 5 runs, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, half of it is guys that we never heard of in April.
Yes, seriously.
Because I think it went Hummel, Trammell, Zach Short
was there.
And then I forgot who the 9-hitter was, but it was another. The new guy, Corona.
Yes! Kennedy Corona.
You can have any player you want, as long as it's a Corona.
We'll get to Corona in a moment, family. We'll get to Corona in a moment. So this was the lineup going into last night's game. Isak Paredes leading off. By the way, tip of the hat to Isak Paredes, who once again got his free Chick-fil-A by hitting a ball off the foul pole. I forgot Astros game. This is third time he's done that this year.
Love this guy.
I forgot after going to the Astros-Cubs game on that Saturday where Paredes did the same thing. I forgot to go get my free Chick-fil-A. He did it on a Saturday in Chick-fil-A. Oh, we're not open on Sunday. Ooh, look at us. Be open on Sunday. I get it. Religion and all. Be open. That's when we want you the most, Chick-fil-A. I understand what you're doing. You're trying to make me want Chick-fil-A more by being closed on a day where I want you. But Paredes is leading off. Cam Smith in right. Jose Altuve, third. Yonder Diaz, fourth. Not bad. But then, all right, Victor Caratini, who has actually had a pretty good year.
Decent.
Cooper Hummel, oh boy. He's for DH. 222 average. Taylor Trammell, Zach Short, and Kennedy Corona. A tip of the hat to Kennedy Corona. Clearly very emotional, making his first start. There was a nice little article written about him and how emotional he was. Everyone at the ballpark got to see it last night. Except for, I guess, Jeremy Branham. Jeremy Branham is going Joe George on Blair Henley when it comes to Kennedy Corona. Did you see the post that he had?
I actually did not see his.
Okay, I saw this. Not great news on the Jake Myers front. Corona has a 228, 315, 351 slash line in AAA this season. How dare you disrespect the man by showing his stats? How dare you do that? How dare you? Hey, when you go from being a space cowboy to an Astro, you know what your batting average is? It's not even zero. It's you haven't batted yet.
Yeah, zero for zero. It could be anything.
Right, exactly. I mean, zero
blank
for zero.
Slate.
Zero divided by zero. Technically, that could be 1,000. I don't know. I'm just asking the question for all the mathematicians out there. I think you can't divide anything by zero. Whatever.
Sure can't.
I mean, a zero over a zero, that's the same number over the same number. That's kind of a one. I don't know.
So he's batting 1,000.
Yeah, he's batting 1,000.
Except he did get a hit yesterday.
Yeah, well.
So now he's not batting
1,000. Now he's not batting 1,000. But here's Jeremy Branham just dumping on this guy. This guy's making his debut. It's cool.
Yeah, lifelong dream realized.
Listen, all these injuries that are happening, at the very least, can we acknowledge that it's cool that these young guys are getting to play? I'm happy for all of them. I really am. Like, they're playing on a juggernaut of a franchise in the midst of a great season.
Yeah.
It's cool.
The Astros medical team is making dreams come true.
We'll get to them in 5 minutes or so. There's a couple of nice articles written about Kennedy Corona, who has quite the nickname. Remember this running back? I'm looking up just to confirm. There was a running back in the day named Doug Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Doug Martin ran for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they had the alarm clock uniforms, 5'9", 223 pounds, nicknamed the Muscle Hamster. Well, guess what? Kennedy Corona, same nickname. Per Chandler Rome, Corona is on the Astros' 40-man roster. Two spring trainings ago, an unnamed teammate called him a, quote, muscled-up hamster, end quote, and it's been hard to get that image out of my head. So he got to make his debut last night. That was cool. Wow.
And Chandler Rome just can't stop imagining
a muscle hamster.
Muscle hamster. Kenny Corona, muscle hamster.
Would be kind of cool to see a muscled up hamster.
Yeah, it would be cool. Yeah. It would be like Doug Martin running back for the
exactly.
Bucks and
just like
Boise State back in the day.
It's kind of an insult to be called a muscled up hamster.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because there's a little, like, you know, just call me muscular. Why do you have to throw in hamster in there?
Right, exactly. Like, just, yeah. Say, like, oh, he's
no
stout.
One's like, no one's like, you know, The Rock kind of looks like a muscle hamster.
Right, it's because of his height. Yeah. You only do that because someone is short.
Tiny.
Why don't you say, like, he's got Joe Rogan physique. Joe Rogan is, I think, 5'7", but is jacked. Like, yeah. There's a lot of guys like that. Liver King. 5'7", and jacked.
Incredibly jacked. All natural.
Very unnatural. I watched that documentary last week, and got to say, every single person that bought into this person is an effing idiot. Idiot. And I'm speaking about the Pauls. One of the Pauls, I forget their names. I find them untalented. One of them, like, ranted at the camera on his podcast and said, "You lied to me on my show! How dare you? You idiot! You stupid idiot! Go cry on Piers Morgan again, you loser. Oh, you don't go to the gym. Oh, you don't fight real boxers." Where are we? Again, the Astros.
Kenny Corona, happy for him to make
his
major league debut.
I mean, the Astros, they scored 5 runs last night in a game where they were starting in left field a minor leaguer, in center field a minor leaguer, in right field a rookie, third baseman, the only actual starter, a backup shortstop, a starting left fielder, backup catcher, an actual starter, and a minor leaguer, as laid out by Patrick Creighton. Like, that's what they were working with last night. And they scored 5 runs anyway. So I know it was a loss, and I know it doesn't help the Astros, and I know the Guardians had lost 10 games in a row going into it. But God wills it, 5 runs with that lineup. Hell, we would have been killing for that a couple of months ago, right? God wills it.
Probably like 80% of Astros games they win if they score five runs.
Yes, pretty much. Didn't go so well for Colton Gordon. And speaking of Colton Gordon, this might be the crown jewel of Astros medical staff gaffes this season. What am I talking about? You'll hear on the other side for a special edition of Astros ER. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Yes, it's Paul Gallant. There's no hot take here. He'll come back again, though. That was a fun character I used to do back in the day. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975, and on the brand new ESPN Houston app available on iPhones and Androids. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Stick around.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Right back to Gordon. Hits Gordon. And everybody's safe. Hopefully he's okay doing a push-up on the mound after that ball struck him, which is usually a sign that he's okay, but everybody is going to run out there and check on Colton.
Todd Callis, are you part of the Astros medical staff now? Doing a push-up after getting hit by a line drive in the head? That means you're okay? By the way, that hit him right in the head. Colton Gordon, not a soft boy. Tough boy for that. And the push-up afterwards? Great. Now, he did give up a Jose Ramirez home run like 5 seconds later. But Colton Gordon got up and he stayed in the game. That said, you mentioned the Astros medical staff. Is it possible that the Astros medical staff committed medical malpractice in that moment right there? It's time for another episode of Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
I mean, he probably had a concussion, right? And I get that the Astros are injured to the point of having maybe no one left to call up. But, guys, he had a concussion. He had to have. A line drive hit his head.
Maybe he's just built different.
I mean,
just
clearly.
Just got his bell rung, and he shook it off.
The Astros medical staff was out there for a while, and I feel like, just like Todd Callis, they probably saw him do the push-ups and said, he's okay.
Get back out there, kid.
Get back out there. I mean, 20 years ago, for anyone who was playing high school sports back then, that was the mentality. So there is a part of me that says, all right, yeah, you feel good.
You did the push-up.
Stay in there for your team. Show off a little toughness there. But then if you give him a home run a couple of batters later, I don't know. I wonder if he was 100%. I'm allowed to have this question because the Astros medical staff has crapped the bed so many times.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Thank you, Will Smith, in the movie Concussion. Thank you. You no longer have the benefit of the doubt. That's all we're saying at this moment in time. And I think there's a very good chance Colton Gordon had a concussion there. We hope he is okay going forward. And that this doesn't cause him to miss any time on the other side of the All-Star break. I guess there's a chance. I don't know what the scheduled rotation is that he starts the last game before the All-Star break for the Astros. But I hope he stayed awake last night. I hope he's not watching any movies that have a lot of blinding lights. The John Wicks. You got to stay away from the John Wicks. Anything that might cause, you know, a stroke. You can't do any of that. Probably going to stay away from the video games.
Yeah.
No raves. I hope he's okay. I'm concerned. Sorry, I'm concerned. And the Astros medical staff probably isn't. effing barber surgeons over there.
I think that's why you're concerned. It's because you don't think anyone there is actually concerned.
I don't think they checked. I know that there was about like 4 or 5 minutes that they were out of the mound, but I mean, well, what are you going to do? Make him walk a perp line like he's getting pulled over for a DUI? I mean,
they just gave him smelling salts and told him to get back out there like he's...
Yeah, like it's the Junction Boys and he's Bear Bryant with the Aggies. What else do we have? We actually have another pretty funny Astros injury update. So before yesterday's game, Joe Espada was asked about Jeremy Peña's status. This is courtesy of our guy Will Kunkel. Joe Espada asked if he thinks Astros shortstop Jeremy Peña will play before the All-Star break. Quote, "I'm not going to answer that." End quote. He learned. He learned. Good job. This is all they should do going forward. Just don't say anything. Feed him bleep and keep him in the dock. They're learning.
It is funny that we talked about the same thing with Dusty Baker, where Dusty Baker, he had one press availability where he was very open with injuries and what the, you know, timetables were. And then basically the next week he was told, "I can't tell you anything because I told you too much last week."
Yes.
Joe Espada, and we'll see about Dana Brown, but Dana Brown are kind of reaching that point where but it's the opposite. It's like, they don't know, so I don't know. Like, I get told things and then I'm wrong the next day. So yep. I don't know.
No one knows.
So now we're going to go back to, like, I don't know.
Good.
I don't even know which hand is hurt.
That's what Dusty Baker did back in the day, okay?
Yeah, he just played dumb.
After he got called on it a couple of times and was like, "Listen, man, I'm just talking to these people that are supposedly doctors," he said in quotation marks. Like, I mean, even Dusty Baker is probably like, "What the hell, man? Like, we had better medicine in the 50s when I invented the high five." I guess that was the 70s. I'm telling you, the insurance in this country, am I right?
It's like walking into a time machine.
Seriously. Also, the latest on Jake Myers. I think Kennedy Corona being called up isn't the best sign, but he weighed in on it. For Joe Espada, Myers is feeling better, but yesterday was a rest day. Also, Luis Garcia threw 2 innings and Christian Javier threw 2 innings in a live batting practice session. This is Jake Myers straight from the horse's mouth. The should have been All-Star's mouth.
Yeah.
The snub mouth. Jake Myers had this to say when asked about his status. He said, "It's better than yesterday. I'm day-to-day right now. I'm feeling better than I was yesterday." Okay.
Tells me very little.
Always.
I think the phrase, "he's feeling better," might be the most used phrase by Astros people to talk about injured Astros. He's feeling better.
He's feeling better. Well, I mean, listen.
Like, I think they might use it more than discomfort. Like, discomfort just normally is like a line on a injury report that they put out.
Right.
But when you actually ask Dana Brown and Joe Espada things, what they say the most is, "he's feeling better."
Do you think that they ask, "Hey, are you feeling better?" a leading question, and they say yes? Yeah,
I guess.
I bet they do. I would assume, though.
"Hey, how's your day?" "Good." "Okay, so you're doing good." "Okay.
How's your day?" "Day to day."
Yeah.
I would assume, generally, when you suffer an injury, the day after you suffer it, for the most part, I would think it's a little bit better most of the time. But I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and many would argue the Astros medical staff aren't either. Sorry to take so many shots from the text line, from the 409. I think this is talking about Colton Gordon. "'Tis but a flesh wound!" The Black Knight from Monty Python. He's just a torso with a head. For the 936, Eric the Driver chimes in. "Did anyone else see the massive baseball-shaped welt right at the top of Colton Gordon's dome? Why was he left in?" I actually didn't, because I didn't watch the game last night.
The Astros doctors didn't either.
They definitely didn't. He put the hat back on as quickly as possible. I don't think he has a lot of hair either. So if I remember correctly from the hat being knocked off from the replay I watched this morning, I feel like they would have been able to see it compared to the mop I got on top of my head. Yours, Sean.
They're just playing Candy Crush in the...
So there you go. That's Astros ER. We do appreciate the content.
I know. And now that, the ER is constantly in use. They're swamped, like the pit.
Yeah.
But the Astros are winning, so they still have enough goodwill that we can just laugh at them. It's right. It's back to, like, 2022 Astros ER levels of, like, this is just kind of funny.
Yeah, because they're winning. Yeah. They're winning through it, and it's cool because they're overcoming it. But, yeah, at the same time.
Last year is less funny.
Yes.
When you needed every game possible.
Do you feel more qualified, Sean, having watched a lot of The Pit recently to talk about medical stuff?
I think a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. Emergency medicine. Mostly.
Cool. Well, yeah. Listen, everything's an emergency with the Astros. We're talking about million-dollar athletes here.
And Colton Gordon probably. You know what? He probably would have been. They probably would have kept him in a room for a little bit longer than the Astros looked at him last night.
I'm from the house of a learned doctor. I am not said learned doctor. Sean, tell me something medically.
Just anything?
Just say something that makes it sound like you know what you're talking about. But clearly,
anaphylactic shock.
Oh! Damn. From the 832, even the NFL makes the players take a playoff for a concussion.
That is true.
That is really true.
The game might have stopped for less than when the game stops when a NFL player gets hit in the head.
Oh, that's so funny. So there you go. Astros ER, everybody.
He's just wearing a hat.
I know. It's not armored. You would think that he would start going John Olerud or something like that. For those who don't know, Olerud played for the Mariners, and he had a helmet on. Tino Martinez might have done that too, but I know Olerud did, like his whole career. Up next, in case you missed it, everything you missed over the weekend in sports, including angry Dodgers fans and some excuses from Team USA after their loss in the Gold Cup. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Stick around.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
Doesn't ring the bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it.
Everything you might have missed over the weekend in sports. This music in the background. Sean, we pot it down for a moment before we get into the rest of it. I just want to give an update on what's going on with Kerrville. I know the death toll surpassed 100 people. We're working on something as we speak. I know President Trump's going to visit the state. Absolutely brutal. I've talked to a lot of people who in some way, shape, or form were affected by it, whether they were camp graduates from back in the day or they knew someone. You know, I know, for example, Michael Schwab, his family was hit pretty hard by this. It's brutal. So it has been very cool to see a couple of the local teams team up and give money back. The Rockets, Mavericks, and Spurs combined to contribute $2 million. The Astros gave $1 million. The Texans and Cowboys, $500,000 apiece. It's an unspeakable tragedy, and I know there's a lot of speculation about what went wrong and what should have been done differently. I would ask that you keep that to yourself, especially in the short term. Maybe down the road we revisit that so that something like this doesn't happen again. But I hope everyone's thoughts are with those people. I saw a couple of posts on social media in the last 24 hours, two in particular, and they made me very angry. Our thoughts and prayers, the entirety of ESPN Houston and Gal Media, are with all the people affected. Anyway, let's keep it going and try to put on a smiley face again with our crazy, wonky music in the background from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. More in case you missed it over the weekend. Astros swept the Los Angeles Dodgers. We've been seeing some fans with poor takes aging even worse. Nothing ages well, for what it's worth. But I don't know why Lance Zierlein shared this with us. I don't know if this is part of the running bit that I think Lance has, where he's like just a boob when it comes to brisket. or maybe that's a real thing. I know he posts brisket online and he regularly gets crushed, but perhaps because he posts so much about brisket, this random Los Angelian posting about brisket and barbecue in L.A., he decided to share it with all of us. And honestly, Lance, I think less of you for this.
The Dodgers are better than the Houston Astros, just like barbecue in L.A. is just a little bit better than barbecue in Texas. The Astros are currently struggling against the Colorado Rockies on their way to visit Dodger Stadium starting 4th of July, tomorrow night, Friday night. L.A.'s going to barbecue the Astros on Independence Day. 4th of July barbecue? The Dodgers are better than the Astros. The Astros are losing to the Colorado Rockies right now. Listen, barbecue in Texas is great. Austin, Houston. But barbecue in LA is just a little bit better. I just like a little extra barbecue on my ribs.
What? What?
Sausages. Barbecue in LA is just better, just like the Dodgers are better than the Astros.
I mean, he's clearly rage baiting here. I want to suplex this dude. Like, I want to do bodily harm to him. Just listening to him talk with his L.A. soft tone. I thought of saying another word. I didn't say it right there. What is it about the West Coast? They just sound different. There's something about them. But, Lance, why'd you share that with us? Like, I got very mad watching that. I already every now and then see that annual article by some clown from Brooklyn who's like, this is why New York barbecue is really taking things over. And that person probably wrote an article about how you shouldn't have air conditioning on weeks before. I'm too cold at the office because I'm a woman. No. Blast that AC. We ain't Europe, baby. Also, Lance, you're in timeout for that. The Paul Gallant Show timeout. This is the first nominee into timeout, and you are in timeout indefinitely because of that. I'm very mad that you shared that with everybody. It made me angry. I do not need more things to get mad at on my ex, okay? I already have Texans Jacob getting on his knees for, like, every single thing Houston sports. To praise them, you know?
Yeah, to bow them and exalt them.
Exactly, bowing down. Everything that happened over the weekend in sports, the USA lost to Mexico 2-1 in the Gold Cup finale. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. I'm very frustrated with this. And Team USA has given all the excuses afterwards. I get it. There was a missed handball in the 66th minute. You should be 2 goals better than Mexico. Mauricio Pochettino said, quote, if that happened in their box, for sure it would be called a penalty. Chris Richards on the handball, no call. He's a USA player. Quote, homie palmed the ball like Shaq in the box. Huh? Wait a second. Is he talking about the homie palming the ball in the box, or is he saying that was like Shaq when Shaq was in the box? Did he just, like, does he not know basketball at all?
I think he said, yeah,
homie
he palmed
in the box.
The ball like Shaq while homie was in the box.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because the handball was in the box.
I was about to say, like, maybe don't make basketball references if you think the paint is the box.
Yeah.
Also, Chris Richards said this on an offsides that wasn't called. It originally was, but it was overturned by video-assisted replay that allowed Mexico to score the goal that gave them the lead. In any other league, said Chris Richards, it would have been called offsides. But again, that's CONCACAF for you. They hate us, end quote. Do they hate you? I don't know about that. I think CONCACAF knows that if the USA ever gets good, that that's probably a lot more money and a lot more interest. Because this was the most watched Gold Cup final in history, which also makes it more embarrassing that we lost to Mexico.
Yes. If anything, CONCACAF should be upset that USA isn't better. But like,
right, exactly.
We could really use, like, an A-list team in this, I guess, confederation? in the soccer league. Like, it would be sick if we had one team that was awesome. Maybe the one that has 300 million people in it.
Yeah.
Good at every sport other than this one.
Except for this one. That's the worst part about it, Sean. It's that we are awesome at pretty much everything. Like, even at hockey, we're respectable.
That's why, to me, the whole thing of, like, they don't, like, we... It's because this country doesn't care enough about soccer. It's like, this country doesn't care about swimming. Like, this country doesn't care, like...
Track and field.
Even, like, hockey, for large parts of it.
Right.
Don't really care.
And we're still at least top three. And this, like, are we even 30th? Like, I mean...
Yeah, maybe, like, top 20.
Yeah.
We're in the AP poll of world soccer.
We're North Carolina football. We've never been good, but everyone thinks we should.
And we can sneak out an 8-4 every once in a while.
Yeah. Sleeping time. Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, if Bill Belichick can't make it happen, no one can.
He should coach U.S. soccer.
I would 100% trust him
to
coach U.S. soccer.
New ideas.
This guy, Pochettino. What? I didn't say anything.
No.
Joey Chestnut won again. His 17th Nathan's hot dog eating competition took last year off. He consumed 70 and a half hot dogs with buns. He is an abomination. I think this is the most disgusting thing that happens every single year. Credit to him. I mean, he is incredible at eating food, but hot dogs are disgusting, especially the kind of hot dogs they're putting out there. These aren't grilled. These aren't charred. These don't have the accoutrements. There's no mustard. There's no relish. It's not burnt in nice little grid mark lines.
No.
Boiled. No. I'm a little bit of a cake eater when it comes to my hot dogs. Eating 70 and a half of those, you are disgusting. You are an abomination.
Yeah, eating 7.5 for regular people. If you're like, hey, how was your 4th of July party? You're like, it was good. I had 7 hot dogs.
I think Kobos had something going on this week on the 4th of July. And correct me if I'm wrong, Raul, if you're listening. But I think Kobos had where you could have 9 beers, 9 hot dogs.
Yeah, the 9x9x9
thing. And there was something else, and I forgot what
that was. Isn't it 9 innings of... That's
maybe
normally
staying to watch all 9 innings.
That's normally the... I guess, self-imposed little challenge that people post online is 9 innings at a baseball game, when they go to a game. 9 innings, 9 beers, 9 dogs.
Oh.
That seems very hard to do.
Abomination. To quote the witch broad in Dune 2. What? She's fictional. I can call her that. Abomination.
Abomination.
Abomination. Just disgusting. It's so gross. I hate how we glorify eating so much in our country. Like, I think we should glorify good food. I don't think we should glorify eating to the point of gluttony. Like those disgusting fat people on that. What's that show? Like the two people. There's like these two fat sisters.
600 pounds.
Yeah, that.
Life.
Ew. Disgusting. Disgusting. It's disgusting. It's a shame. It's a bad example for our kids. It's awful. Anyway, ESPN, not a great weekend for them. Major League Baseball's All-Star Selection Show was delayed for nearly 10 minutes on ESPN due to cornhole. Gotta say, I'd rather watch cornhole than the announcements of a team that I could just look at my phone and see what the announcement is. Because I'm sure that they made things happen slowly. There were commercial breaks.
They had to go position by position and like give like a 20-second highlight montage of like, Shohei Ohtani. we got it. We know why he's on the team.
Back in the day, these shows were, I think, perhaps fun. But now when they're just releasing all of it at once, just give it to me like this. Yeah. I don't need to sit
there's
here.
So many, and there's so many different ways to, like, get this information. Like,
yeah.
Like you said, back in the day, like, how you found out about the All-Star team was...
Or Selection Sunday.
Yeah, or Selection Sunday. Like, you just had to watch the TV.
Yeah.
Or the next day you found out.
Exactly.
Like, here it's like, I can... Turn off my TV and look at my phone. It'll be right there.
There'll be a graphic in a little bit of time. Hunter Brown did make it.
Yep.
Josh Hader did make it. Jeremy Pena did make it. Also, ESPN is facing backlash for their tribute to late White Sox pitcher Bobby Jenks. Bobby Jenks was the White Sox pitcher who threw for the final out and had 2 saves in the 2005 World Series against the Astros. The post that ESPN made about this was Bobby Jenks, a 2-time All-Star pitcher for the Chicago White Sox, who was on the roster when the franchise won the 2005 World Series, died on Friday in Portugal, the team announced. I'm sure it was a kid that wrote this. You got to do your homework and determine what he did in said World Series. Was he important in said World Series? This isn't the first time that I feel like ESPN's been disrespectful to the dead. I thought when they wrote about Billy Beane passing away a little over a year ago, this was the headline. Billy Beane, openly gay ex-player who worked for baseball, dies at 60. Is that the thing you want to be known for when you pass away? Don't you want to be known as like good husband, maybe, if you married another man? Or to be known as a good guy instead of being like, yeah, this guy was the second person to come out of the closet in a prominent role in baseball. I don't know. I think it's disrespectful. Like, yeah, let's talk about what his sexual preferences instead of whether or not this was a good guy, which I hopefully think he was.
I think they landed on that because they're like, we can't put Billy Beane in quotations, not for Moneyball.
Yes.
Not Billy that Beane. One.
Instead, Billy Beane, Moneyball, Billy Beane, gay, dead. Yeah. Like, that's basically what they did. ESPN's terrible at this.
Yeah.
But it's the parent company.
There is a little bit of, like, what else is this? Like, what's this guy known for an ESPN audience? Where it's like, you know, when Jackie Robinson dies, they're not like, great, great guy, Jackie Robinson. It's like, broke the color barrier.
But also was a really good player, you know, on his own right. Like, I don't know. I feel like to put that in the headline, it's like you're trying to get rage clicks. Because that's probably what it got. And I don't know. I think it's insulting to the person's memory. Whatever. They've done this a couple of times now. So there you go. By the way, this is ESPN Houston. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And that is, in case you missed it, everything you might have missed over the weekend in the world of sports. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. This might be the Houston Texans' biggest question mark going into 2025. You'll hear that on the other side. First, let me tell you about Green Street. We're having a party this Saturday, 2 to 6 p.m., before the Silver Boot Series reignites. Green Street is going to be thrown down with a game day block party. Houston versus everybody. Houston versus Texas. It'll be a full throttle afternoon. There's going to be a live DJ, a band, a mechanical bull, a bedazzler station. I should get my short shorts bedazzled, huh? And more special surprises. Food, drinks, and good trouble. Free parking and a free shuttle to the game with your RSVP. The Game Day Block Party is presented by Green Street, Tom's Watch Bar, and House of Blues. The event's free, but RSVP. That way, if you get there for the free parking and the free shuttle to the game, you'll be able to have a free extra ride. It's probably going to be hot, right? It's a weekend in Houston. We know what that means. Again, it's the Game Day Block Party at Green Street this Saturday from 2 to 6 p.m., It's brought to you by Green Street, Tom's Watch Bar, and House of Blues. GreenStreetDowntown.com/GameDayBlockParty to RSVP.
The Bullpen, Saturdays at noon on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mapes behind the glass. You know how to get aboard. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. We're getting closer and closer to Houston Texans training camp kicking off and the start of the NFL season. For those who don't know, the NFL is my favorite sport. Very excited as we get closer and closer. We're 58 days away. Brooks Reed days away. Bill Barnwell and ESPN in the last couple of years have been all over the place when it comes to ranking Houston Texans skill players against the rest of the league. In 2023, we were told that C.J. Stroud had the worst supporting cast around him going into the season. That was conveniently forgotten at the end of the year as everyone made a lot of excuses for Bryce Young's rookie season. People were saying going into that year that Bryce Young had quite the supporting cast. Going into last season, however, the Houston Texans had the number one ranked skill position group in the entirety of the league. Number one. And understandable, Nico Collins had broken out as a star. Tank Dell was a really good rookie. And they had just brought aboard Stephon Diggs via a trade. Also, they brought in Joe Mixon. I mean, there was a lot to work with there. And if you wanted to go further, Dalton Schultz, solid as far as tight ends go. At least that's what we thought going into the year. If you really want to go further, there was some excitement about Damian Pierce. Could John Metchie ever reach the potential that he had when the Texans drafted him in the second round after he was dealing with a torn ACL and he had to deal with cancer? Lots of reasons for optimism. They did not live up to those optimistic hopes, largely due to an offensive line that was awful. Some believe it was the worst in the NFL last year and that it is still the worst in the NFL going into next season. And an offensive coordinator that did appear to be in over his set. Football is football. You know, when asked about the team's struggles, that was a Bobby Slowick line that had me out on him. Right there, right then. Going into this season, you wonder, okay, well, what's C.J. Stroud's supporting cast? How does it compare to the rest of the league? Here's what Bill Barnwell wrote. The Texans have the 14th best group of skill players in the league. After almost going from worst to first in 1 year, the Texans have fallen back toward the pack after a disappointing campaign. Both Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs were sidelined by season-ending injuries. And while Diggs left in free agency, Dell isn't expected to return from his multi-ligament knee tear this season. Down the lineup, former second-round pick John Metchie finally got a chance to play regularly and struggled, averaging 28 receiving yards a game while playing two-thirds of the offensive snaps in the second half and postseason. Enter a bevy of new wideouts around superstar Nico Collins, who was every bit as good in 2024 as he was in 2023 when healthy enough to play. Trade acquisition Christian Kirk averaged 2 yards per route run as a big money free agent in Jacksonville. That's an interesting stat, side note, right? I don't even know what that means, Bill. But he missed 14 games over the past two seasons with injuries. Injuries definitely a concern with Kirk, but this is not the concerns that the Jaguars had for someone like Kirk missing games and the big contract that they gave him. When he was healthy, he was pretty effective. He's good at getting open in short areas. I think that's big because they're going to need that without a Tank Dell and without a Stephon Diggs. Both of those guys were pretty good at that, even if they weren't maybe as good as they were. Tank Dell, his rookie season, stretching the field. And Diggs, you could say the same thing about him. So, this article continues. Second-round pick Jaden Higgins had a promising 2024 season at Iowa State, but he is seen as more of a project than a wideout expected to make an immediate impact. I will say this about the wide receivers the Texans brought in. He continues writing about Jalen Knoll, Higgins' college teammate, who will compete with Kirk in the slot for snaps. I would expect, writes Barnwell, the Texans to find some starting caliber snaps across from Collins within this trio, but it's also only realistic to say the vision of three elite wideouts they had this time last year isn't in the cards with this new bunch. That is a fair way to frame it. But what the hell means project at wideout? What does that mean? Does that mean that it's going to take a couple of seasons for someone like Jaden Higgins to get to the comparisons that some had for him going into the draft? Nico Collins, to be specific. Does that mean it's going to take time for him to get to that point? I do wonder about that one, and I can't tell you the answer to that. I think a guy with that size is always going to have a chance to be on the field. When you're that big and you have someone across from you that's also big, you're going to probably have pretty favorable matchups. But I will agree with Barnwell. I'm not expecting much out of Houston Texans rookies this coming season. I think to see them actually contribute by the end of the year would be a pleasant surprise. It's not to say I don't think they're going to be good ever. I just think you've been pretty damn lucky in the draft the last couple of years. And no matter how good you are at scouting, you got to remember that the NFL draft is a crapshoot. You are going to miss as much as you hit. So while I like the way Nick Caserio scouts receivers based off of Nico Collins and Tank Dell, we can go a little further with Xavier Hutchinson, who's been pretty damn good as far as sixth-round picks go. But I wonder if this is just going to continue. The odds are against it. I would say the same thing about defensive backs, you know? The corner that the Texans drafted out of USC this year, Jalen Smith, is he going to be on the same level as guys like Kamari Lassiter, who was drafted only one round ahead of him? And you're not expecting that from a third-round pick, especially when that guy, or fourth-round pick, I forget which round it was off the top of my head, but, you know, mid-round, you know, day two pick. Your day two, early day three pick. You are wondering, okay, well, what the hell is realistic to expect for someone like that? But, you know, what you've gotten out of Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter, incredible. What you got out of Nico Collins and Tank Dell, incredible, to bring it back to the offense. Barnwell's write-up on the Houston Texans and the skill players around C.J. Stroud wraps up like this. Running back Joe Mixon's numbers weren't great last season, but the running game the Texans fielded early in the year while he was hurt made him look like Saquon Barkley. Damn, that's an indictment. Mixon suffered behind the dismal offensive line play in Houston. I'm not sure I've ever seen a back pull a rabbit out of his hat more often in beating unblocked or marginally blocked rushers in the backfield on third and short before picking up first downs. He should benefit from a better offensive scheme, and it's tough to imagine the line play being worse. I agree on both of those accounts. Mixon was awesome last season in what he was able to do in spite of the offensive line in front of him. And I think more than anything, I love the leadership that he showed. Not throwing these guys under the bus, because they deserve to be thrown under the bus. And then backed over. Oof. It was bad. No one had more reason to be pissed off than Joe Mixon. Outside of C.J. Stroud. That is it. And Mixon the entire time constantly complimenting that offensive line. I give him a lot of credit for that. A lot. I would not have dealt with that from a patient's perspective. And we know this is a guy who back in the day, maybe not the best patience. You know what I'm talking about. I think he deserves a lot of credit for the way that he handled the Texans offensive line this season. Talking about the skill players still, the ESPN's also put out these rankings. Who are the top defensive tackles in the league? No Houston Texans made it. But as far as running back rankings, Joe Mixon was ranked the ninth best running back in the National Football League. The ESPN write-up, Mixon looked rejuvenated in Houston after the Texans acquired him. In a trade with Cincinnati in March, he's not a home run hitter with a career average of 4.1 yards a carry over 8 seasons, but he's got just about everything else. An NFL personnel evaluator said of him, quote, really good vision, feet, contact, balance, a hammer in the run game. Looked worn down at the end of the season, but overall, that was a really good trade for Houston. Mixon is the NFL's only player with at least 1,300 scrimmage yards and 9 touchdowns in each of the last 4 years. His 94.6 scrimmage yards per game last year trails only Arian Foster in 2014 and DeAndre Hopkins in 2018 and 2015 in Houston Texans history. Also, leaving the top 10 list, Nick Chubb, who the Texans have. It's still crazy to think about that. Obviously, Chubb fell out of the top 10 for injury concerns, knee injury in 2023, foot injury last season, 332 yards in 8 games, $2.5 million deal with the Texans. I mean, they have two huge names, and as far as name cachet goes, I don't think any team in the league has more than that in their backfield than the Texans. And Damien Pierce is still hanging around. I like Pierce. I'm probably one of the few people that is still a believer in Damien Pierce. I know what I saw in 2022. If you watched that team in 2022, you saw it too. So there you go. It's the Paul Gallant Show. We'll see what the Houston Texans do offensively this season. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, Rafael Stone weighed in on the Kevin Durant trade and more in a Rockets State of the Union of sorts. You'll hear what he had to say about the team's future, his expectations for the current group, and about the departures of Jalen Green and Cam Whitmore before the end of today's show. Stick around for some Rafael Stone and a State of the Rockets Union next.